Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
So guess what, boys?
Yo.
Public service announcement here. K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. You know, a lot of our listeners here like the THC, and this is a real deal THC. Not the garbage they sell at the gas stations. The stuff in the gas stations is garbage.
Yeah.
And it's super potent, like THC on steroids. It's a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. It's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party, and there's no hangover. You know what it's perfect for? Halftime of the football game. So you can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, and energy drink, whatever you want. The mix with the energy drink is fantastic, by the way. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. Go to getblitzed.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. That's GET-blitzed, BLITZED.com. I've been using this product. Great for watching football, gotta admit. Great for watching hockey. Great for watching TV. Great for watching the soccer games in the morning. Great for after the gym if you want to wind down. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitation with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitzed now at GET-BLITZED.com and use our code K100, that's K100, to get 15% off. That ain't cheap. Order, enjoy, let us know on Twitter or K100Questions@gmail.com about your experience. That's 50% off with the code K100 at GetBlitzed.com. Great product. I love the t-shirts too.
Yeah, I love the t-shirt too, the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, it's funny because, you know, when he first wanted us to bring Get Blitzed aboard, you know, he sent us all a sample. And I got Cherry, and actually, I used it. I used the whole bottle, you know, just video games or even, you know, watching a movie like Disco said. And now I'm a paid customer. That's how much, you know, I enjoyed the experience. So, yeah, it's real chill. Like Disco said, halftime of a football game, or if you're just chilling watching a movie with your girl or with friends or whatever, it's a good time, and there is no hangover, just like we mentioned in the copy. You know, you're not going to feel like you drank the night before, or you're not going to feel woozy because you smoked too much or something. You wake up fresh as a daisy.
Well, this is what I like about it. Everything from listening to music, watching TV, football games, sports, movies, everything. It enhances everything that I'm doing. And my 10 favorite flavors are pina colada and grape. So get blitzed, get high without, you know, feeling shaky, without getting that garbage that you get at the stores or at the gas stations. This is a real deal. We all use it. We all love it. And as we said before, we're not going to endorse anything that doesn't work. So get blitzed at getblitzed.com. Boom.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, 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 bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, 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 bang. We be dropping. Bang, 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 bang. Just act like you know and homie, stop.
Welcome to stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my boricuas in the 787 and those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks, making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. Heat up and the feed up, greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, don't get sprayed.
We be dropping. Bang, the dang, the dang, dang. Don't say nothing. Bang, the dang, the dang, dang. We be dropping. Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
I know I still would have been invited to Shane's party either way.
Hey, have you guys seen the schedule for today?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, let's just try to like not go 7-8 minutes long on these things because we're very tight.
Everything's back to back to back. Yeah.
You can stop it too, bro.
Well, you guys are trying to stop it. You talk for 4 more minutes.
Just stop. Boom.
We got Jeremy?
Yeah, he just I'm waiting for his Skype accept deal. He wanted to do Skype, so as soon as he accepts, I'm going to add him.
Okay. What do we have for Hoovy today?
We got quite.
Do we have questions?
We have quite a few songs. If you want to do that again,
yeah. And some guy sent like prank calls or something like that. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the tweet. I didn't listen to him yet, though. Joseph.
The prank calls.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. Did they? Is it on Twitter?
Yeah, it's on my timeline. The thing is, I can never find you. I put JJ Feeney or whatever the fuck, and I can never tag you on anything.
Right. It's a JFF. Blah blah blah. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, what were you saying, D.I.?
Do we get Jeremy here?
No, they're waiting for his Skype thing to accept.
Did you text him?
Yeah, I'm talking to him right now. Yeah, he said he just got his Skype working. That was like 2 minutes ago, so I sent him the contact. He should accept it any second. There's a big gap. I know you said a lot of things are tight today, but there's a big gap between Kevin Kleinrock and Simon Diamond, so it's about an hour and a half that you guys can do whatever else, whether it's intro or ads or... we were talking about doing the mailbag to throw on the Patreon as well. So,
I'm reading this thing here. Did you guys read this about Ric Flair being thrown up a bar for calling somebody a fat ass?
Yeah. What's funny, though, is I wish there was an actual story to it. To me, like, you have to have actual – in other words, fat
that
ass,
is
get
the
out.
Story.
Right, but I don't know. To me, it's almost like a non-story.
Why?
Well, like, it's kind of notable, like, ha. Huh. But there's no meat to the story. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like
getting kicked out of a bar, because, you know,
being asked to leave a bar. It's like, oh, whatever. You
it was
know
like
what I mean?
It was like Scott Hall, like on the plane at the airport. They told him to leave the bar at the airport because he's drunk.
Bro, like, you gotta know if you got any sort of name in any industry and you make a public nuisance or anything like that. That's news nowadays. Even if
but it's not like.
News.
But in other words, if he went crazy, if it was Ric Flair was naked on the bar, Ric Flair destroyed something.
But you know, this is a pattern of him being drunk and doing shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Some that people know about and some don't.
I think everybody knows about.
Well, the thing is, though, too, I think it's important to note. I mean, I don't know what he was doing before he got to the bar, but he basically walked in and was thrown out.
Hey, real quick, Joe, are you texting him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
What do you think about it, Disco? Like, I mean, it's notable.
Stories like that are just, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I got drunk. I know Flair's drunk. Bro, all I can think about is, like, how many freaking times, if with cell phones and social media, how many times I would have been all over, like, TMZ and shit and everything back in the day.
Right, and he left within five minutes. It's not even like normally in the TMZ era, you'd see something like Rick. Someone has a $10,000 bar bill, or just something that's more meat.
Do you remember how annihilated everybody got at Nash's birthday party in Daytona Beach, and I passed out on the hood on the front hood of the cop car?
Yeah,
I mean, could you imagine if that had happened? How, like, the cameras back then. Hey, so let's do this for Jeff to intro the segment. We'll do it like a previously on Keeping 100, and we'll just we'll echo some of his comments that he made, like the prediction and stuff and everything. So we'll come on where he's like,
bury him. You just want to bury him right off.
No. But do the part awesome. where he buried me too. Yeah. After the Falcons, you know, play so some of the stuff.
I'm
right?
against a one side. I'm not against a one sided burial.
Right. No, you can talk about that, and then him bury me and make it for the Falcons. You know,
and sure. Okay, we'll take care of that. And I also want to hear his predictions on hockey, because I cannot believe.
Huh? I already texted him. We're doing hockey and basketball. I'm gonna read a DM exchange between us.
He should be on the call now.
You ain't afraid to just bring guys on without saying anything, or forgetting to hang up on them when the segment's
or taking their calls when they keep trying to call back to play music or whatever Teddy and Young Shy are doing that time.
That was awesome. Movie's been known to do that too.
It went to his voicemail, so let's try again.
Glenn.
Yeah, hang on, let me message him. We're calling him.
Is Kevin Gill on this or no?
He's here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's up?
What up, though?
It's like, let me say hi 5 minutes in. Boom.
Happy Easter, everybody.
So what's the schedule tomorrow?
Fuck Easter, huh? I don't know.
Kevin Sullivan and Matt Farmer are the guests that are scheduled. Kevin's at 1:30, and Matt Farmer is 2:00.
Okay, what about Boovy and Shane?
Bro, let me tell you about Matt Farmer real quick. You know why I invited him on?
Come.
He does this history show. Okay,
yeah, on MLW, right.
Bro, he's got some of the greatest stories of Bruiser Brody, Dr. Jerry Graham, Roddy Piper.
He's like, huh? He's kind of like Meltzer.
Yeah.
Hell
of a deal.
Yeah, Shane will be 1:00, Klein Rocks 2:15, and I'm waiting for a confirmation from Hoovy.
Wait, who's at 1:00?
Shane Holmes.
Okay, I don't watch USC, by the way, so you guys can rap about that.
Me either.
No, bro, that was a great show.
I wish we could, like, bro, because I want to. I know Lance and Cyrus are going to be talking about that the concussion thing,
right,
on their show. So right, that's gonna be a pretty strong topic of conversation that I want to talk about. You know,
right? Yeah,
because I've been on my high horse all week on Twitter, as you guys have noticed probably. What a great off day I had today. I'm off work today, so I woke up, went to the gym, and did like an hour of cardio watching the first half of the Hawks game.
Right.
I've just been like, that's like, took some muscle relaxers, drank a few drinks, cooking food all day, just watching sports all day.
Were you shaking?
Oh, God, no, I don't.
Bro, the first time I ever saw that, I freaked out.
When you guys were shaking on the Somas and stuff?
Yeah, Ray was with me, and we never seen anybody do that. Little did we know that would become a nightly thing. But the first time we saw it, we freaked out. Guess who it was?
Sabu.
Sullivan.
Nash.
Nash, yeah.
That's a big motherfucker to take down, because I once walked into a club with him, and he opened up his hand, and this is a shoot, Glenn. I'm not making this up. He had 8 Somas in his hand, and he took them all at the same time.
Bro, him and Sean would wrestle each other. They would pop the pills, like 8 of them, before they'd go to the ring.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that? So, like, at the end of the match, they drink that beer, and that buzz would be unbelievable, you know?
Did you ever hear Nash tell the story about him, Scott, Shawn Michaels, and the 100 Somas?
I think they all took 100 Somas in between them or something?
Yeah, they split it up. So Nash took 33. Shawn took 33. And Scott took 34 and was just out of his mind. And those guys were, you know, I guess the usual, you'd say. And Scott forever always was like, well, I took more. I'm like, yo, you took one more. You took the 34th. Like, go on.
The most I've ever taken in one day is like seven. And I was like, when I would start taking too many, I would just stop taking them. Because I'm like, oh, watch out. I don't want to get like these guys, you know?
Yeah, I think the most I ever took was six.
But these guys, bro, like you give like Vamp and Road Dog and everything, these guys, they'd ask for so much. And you'd be like, bro, this is back in the day, you know, when the Mexicans would bring those jars of them for like
right.
$500 over for, you know.
Right. And bro, just Luger would buy a jar just for himself.
Yeah, think about that. Bro, I bought a jar one time. Bro, think about that. We used to travel with prescription medication without a prescription.
Right.
With like 500 pills in your bag.
Right.
Right. And you wouldn't even get bags checked back then, you know, because this is before 9/11.
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't even think about it. And just I'd come home and get, like guys would want them. And like, bro, you'd hand like, oh, that's hysterical. I gave like we were on the road one time and like a Vamp wanted a few. So I gave him some and I think I gave him like 10. Right. And like he came back the next day, he's like, "Hey, you got more?" Like, you took them all already? He's like, "Oh, I took them all one time."
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. I was like, "Holy God, man!" But that's the thing, you can build a tolerance up to those really, really quick. If you take two and like drink a beer, and then like you know, if you take two for a while, it's like two doesn't do nothing. You got to take two and a half to get a buzz. Hello.
There goes Jeff.
Hello.
What's up, Double?
Who's calling?
You got the world famous Disco Inferno. You got your boy Charlie, old Charlie Ashenoff, KG, and our producer Joe Feeney.
Oh, Joe. That's the only name I recognize. Joe, good to hear from you tonight.
Hey, good talking to you, man. What's going on?
You are so great. I am so happy to hear your voice. Is Carlos around tonight?
Yes, I am here. DI has been waiting, brother, has been waiting like a vulture. For you to come back to the show, and I think you know what it's about. So I'll let DI take it over.
Wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
Carlos.
Yeah.
We how long do we go back? 20 years?
Probably, yeah. Maybe a little bit more. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more. So you referred, because we can go Carlos, Conan, K-Dog, and all that.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you're going to refer to him as DI? That is... That's so amateur, just to start off the conversation.
Wait,
yeah. KT, are you rolling tape right now?
We are rolling, brother.
We can, yeah.
We're always recording.
What does DI stand for?
Dual input, right?
Disco Inferno. The Mighty DI. Bro, you know these guys have been calling me the Mighty DI for a while. That's an old moniker.
Who's who? You got who's who?
I see what you're trying to do. Okay.
No. I just want to know who's who.
What do you mean?
All I'm looking at is we're at halftime, and I don't know if this is time stamp, but I can assure you this Westbrook facade is still going on because we're almost tied at half.
And yeah, now, bro, he's literally like there's probably six or seven goalies in the NHL right now that you could just point to and say, oh, that team can carry them the Stanley Cup. And bro, Pekka's in the conversation, bro. 6-0. I can't believe that the Blackhawks, who are they're the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, and they haven't even scored a goal at home. That's unbelievable. I was
can
like,
can you imagine how rocking Nashville is going to be on Monday?
Oh my God! Let me tell you this, Jeff. And I've showed you pictures. I've texted you pictures before. My old roommate, one of my best friend, she's married to a guy that runs Cooper Steel down there in Nashville, Tennessee. Bro, he's got the seats right behind, like the first row right behind the goal. So if the Stanley Cup Finals come to Nashville, I might be taking a trip down there and getting front row seats to watch one of those games for sure.
Well, I can assure you this: I'll get you thrown out because I have connections in Nashville.
That is very disrespectful. It's very disrespectful.
There's no doubt in my mind. But all kidding aside, no, the peck aside, how great would it be? But no, it is, I don't know hockey. I don't ever profess to be that. But I assure you that the peck is hot. But I can tell you, Mr. Gilvanetti, that Russell Westbrook, James Harden, neither one of them will come close. At the end of the day, we're all talking about more or less it's give and take. But at the end of the day, we all three of us agree on it. But all right, then let's take it one step further. KG, I got to direct your show, whether you like it or not. Who will be the MVP, LeBron or Durant or somebody from Golden State? Who's the MVP of the finals? So we both agreed we're going all the way. Who's the MVP of the finals?
To me, the smart money's on LeBron.
I can't believe I'm going to agree with your opinion. KT, I did not ask for your opinion. I just want that to be clear. I'm asking for Carlos or Glenn. Okay.
Tremendous.
I will have to echo KG. Okay, because I have a bet. I have a bet every year at the beginning. Do you know Eric Pleska, the guy that runs the PWS in Jersey? Me and him always have it's called a must win bet every year at the beginning of the year. We bet $100. He's got the Warriors and I got the Cavs, and whoever's team wins the championship, you win $100 from the other guy. And last year was great because we made the bet at the beginning of the year and they played each other in the finals and I won. But I don't think either team is as strong as they were last year, which is why I'm curious to see what happens over the next 2 weeks and how these how things play out. But bro, it's just like to me, LeBron is just like a genius and just figures things out on the fly and just, you know, that's why I think Cleveland will win again and he'll be the MVP.
Conan, you ready? Can I step in front of you?
Yep.
Because affectionately known as D.I. has always been a moron, just like he was the Atlanta Falcon moron.
He's unbelievable.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to Golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo Taking Release.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to Golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's Golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who have found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at Golo.com. That's Golo.com. Again, Golo.com.
Well, you know what, boys? It's the new year, and you know you should be back into the swing of things with your health and fitness routine. Hopefully that means you're using world-class nutritional supplements from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Whether it's bestsellers like TestX9 Testosterone Booster, Recovery PM Sleep Optimizer, and the delicious salted caramel whey protein, you can be sure you're using elite-level products. Now, this show, K100, is the most used discount code ever at LegacySubs.com, and we can't thank you enough for the loyalty to both Legacy and this show. Using that code supports our show and Legacy, which, as you know, is brought to you by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James. Legacy wants to reward you, our K100 family. So every customer that uses code K100, that's K100, at LegacySupps.com through the end of February, will receive a free water-resistant Bluetooth speaker while stocks last. That's awesome. So level up your performance, well-being, and mind with LegacySubs.com. And don't forget to use the code K100 at checkout, and we're giving you a Bluetooth speaker for being a loyal members of LegacySubs.com.
Free speaker, huh? Ooh.
What do you use, Joe?
Yeah, I definitely use the Recovery PM every night. I sleep way deeper. You wind up having these vivid type dreams. You're out like a light and you wake up and there's no fogginess or like, if you use like some other sleep aid, sometimes you wake up foggy, but not with Recovery PM.
I've been using desiccated liver pills.
Cool.
They've been great. I feel great.
They're the reason we've been with them for 2 years.
Maybe three even at this point.
3 years. The fact that we have the most what?
With the most buys with our referral code, we beat everybody else. Yeah.
All right. So this works. They have a whole array of supplements. Go check it out. You know, get your supplements at Legacy Supps. Boom.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The first one's from CJ Emanuel, and the subject is the hypothetical star rating overhaul. What's up, K100 crew? This is by far my favorite show weekly, and I'm proud to be a monkey on a cupcake. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
DJ Emanuel, shout out. Awesome. What if Dave Meltzer, Wade Keller, and others of that ilk, tremendous word for a black dude, announced that they would like to standardize how all wrestling matches should be rated? What category should each match be subject to evaluation, psychology, technical, etc., in your respective opinions? I just think this to, here would be the three things, okay? Technical skill, meaning like there's no holes in the work, everything looked as real as possible. Psychology, meaning a total logical story that it answered all the questions, like why would you do this, why would you do this, why would you do this? And crowd response, it would be, I think would be the most important one, because it would have to be tremendous crowd response for it to get a match, like, you know, high-rated matches should be, you know, look, there's no way, like, a professional wrestler, like, if you told him in the back, okay, I'm going to pay you $1,000 to go wrestle tonight, all right? That we're going to say, hey, I'm going to let you wrestle next week, too, for $1,000. But, no, that's a bad example. Let me change this example. If I gave you $1,000, yeah, I lost my train of thought. If I gave you $1,000, right, would you want to go have a match that required a lot of difficulty, okay, that got less of a crowd response than a match that required less difficulty? What would you rather do if you had a 3-star match that got a great crowd response, or would you rather have a 5-star match that didn't get as good of a crowd response as a 3-star match? And I think most professional wrestlers should want to do the 3-star match with a better crowd response. Would you agree with that, or do you think that the answer?
I didn't really understand that question, but I have a better question for you. Would you strip for $10,000 at a male strip club?
Yes.
For $10,000? Yeah. Why not?
Light touching.
What do you mean by that?
Light touching. That's just, you know.
Do you mean the male, the female? Am I dancing for males or females?
You're dancing for males, okay?
No. What about can they rub your shoulders?
What does that have to do with the guy's hypothetical question?
I think that's a better question, because I didn't understand yours. Let me just say this.
Here's what I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead. What do you say? Make it kind of short.
Rate matches, everything, crowd response is the most important one.
Yeah.
Because there's no way a 3-star match should get a better crowd response than a 5-star match.
Well, what about
the 5-star match didn't do the job right then?
What about build too? Can you have a cold match that could be a 5-star match? Like, for instance, tonight.
That's what I'm saying. These indie matches, you can't have 5-star indie matches when there's no build-up, no angles. The matches is the culmination of a storyline.
Right.
You know, it's a progression of a storyline. So there has to be a good story leading up to the match. So you can tell the story that led up to the match and tell it in the match. You know?
Like, I think there's a.
No. You could have a 5-star match or no storyline as long as it's a great athletic match and people are popping. So. But, you know, okay. So, but let me go back to Joe, because he kind of seemed into this question a little bit. Would you strip for $10,000 in front of an all male audience?
I would do filthy, unimaginable things for $10,000.
So you would have no problem like touching either, right?
I'll go with the shoulder rub. You know what? Above the waist, but not below the
Everything
waist.
Everything above the waist.
Above the waist is fair game.
All right. So, okay. So none of the Chinese tension ball gimmick on the nutsack, none of that.
No, we go up to
10 grand. 50. Okay, that's cool. So if somebody bit your nipple, you'd have no problem with that.
That's got to be a light bite. It's got to be a light bite.
All right. So this is what I think, Disco. I kind of look at a match almost like I look at a movie. Did I like the movie or did I like the match? Once you get into 1/4 and halves and 3/4, that's too nuanced for me. This ain't a wine tasting contest. So I look at it like a movie. Was it good? Did I enjoy it? Did I pop? Would I see it again? That's how kind of I look at it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
The next one's from Brad Baska, and the subject is Brian Alvarez. This is not really a question, but I have been jonesing hardcore for Conan to paint the beautiful verbal picture of his childhood Florida carnival experience. The guy operating the ride, talking his shit while Jungle Love provides such wonderful ambience in the background. I searched for Conan's Alvarez voice carnival segment on YouTube and can't find it. It's legit one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my entire life. Thanks a lot. Looking forward to your show every week. Great job. I don't even know what this guy's talking about.
We used that as a cold open a while ago. I did find it off one of the old MLW radio shows. But I don't have the file anymore, but I'll look for it. You know, I know exactly what he's talking about. It's an old MLW radio bit they used to do.
The next one's from James Sunderland, and the subject is Disco on Twitter. What's going down, K100 crew? My letter will be short and sweet and pertains to Disco. Disco, why the hell do you give the time of day to that total mark Martitude on Twitter?
Ooh,
Martitude, that guy on Twitter that follows us, the Vince Russo fan that's convinced.
I don't think I know who he is.
He's convinced AEW and WWE are working together, and he's also convinced
him too.
It's a big 9/11 mark conspiracy.
So he's probably a conspiracy horseman fan.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Disco, why the hell do you give the time of the day the total mark Marty to on Twitter? Thanks to Twitter's somewhat new design, I sometimes see replies from you to people I don't follow, which is most unfortunate as you constantly have to fight off a barrage of idiotic brand members. This is true. Vince's followers are idiotic. If the guy
okay,
isn't
real quick, just so I know, what do they do?
They're just stupid. Right. Okay, if this guy isn't trolling, then I can't even begin to comprehend how he even dresses himself in the morning. Do you enjoy him like a spectator of a dancing monkey, much like Wrestling Vids? No, I just follow. Martitude, I knew from back in the forums in WrestleZone.com when he would comment in the forums. So he's known me for like over 10 years.
Yeah, that's Vince, a long time.
Yeah.
Plus, you got to also remember, obviously you don't know Disco Stilo. If me or him, because we kind of have the same thing, if there's certain people we like to troll back.
Yes. Next one's from Bill. The subject is congrats to 3 years. Congrats to 3 years of keeping 100. I've listened to every episode. I enjoyed the episode you tricked Hoovy to Kevin Gilbert being salty because he got called out by that wrestler. Then he took his ball and went home. I appreciate the shout out on episode 23. D.I. was right. Vince Russo's singing should always be on the list. Now I know why dogs howl when something is awful. My question is, what has been your favorite moments and what can we expect in this coming year of keeping 100? I have not had any favorite moments on the show. It's been misery having to carry these guys. I'm expecting more of the same next year because Conan is in Iran half the show, and Joe is trying to line up guests for the Creative Control Network while he's recording this. So it's like I just think in the future it's going to be much of the same.
So you're going to tell me you didn't pop at a Juventud misspelling his email?
Was that was the first year though?
Yeah. Well, this is our 3rd year anniversary.
All right, so that was funny.
I think that
was funny when we called out Gil for trying to get people to buy him a plane ticket to Japan.
That was great.
the first ambush, the first time that we had Simon Diamond ambushed by Frankie Kazarian was pretty great.
Right.
And that's a little more recent.
How about when Hoovy thought D'Amore was Russo? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, right. That's when we tricked Hoovy, that one.
How about when he wouldn't let Senor Benjamin talk, and he thought he was Puerto Rican.
He was from, yeah.
He was Mexican. I liked the disembowelment of KG by Lord Cyrus, Lance Storm, Russo, yourself, me, Dave Chris, who finally put the final nail in the coffin. Let me see. What else? The train wreck was great.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I thought our boy Vinny Paz has always been cool. Ryan Satin coming on here and losing it with you.
Covington. Colby Covington's had some great interviews and great moments on here.
Who else?
I thought the first time when we had that show, when we interviewed all four of those UFC guys is pretty good.
That's great.
That's the first when we interviewed Tony Ferguson.
And Diego else? Sanchez was such
yeah,
a wrestler.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And how about when Vader got emotional on the show?
Yeah.
How about when Sabu came out hot and left?
Yeah, he got pissed because we were talking about running. Paul. Made him so mad he just hang up.
We got to get him back. A lot of people have been waiting for that part, too.
He
came in
as hot as you can come in on a show.
Right.
Yeah. And the WCW live reunion, I thought, was pretty great.
That was too.
Yeah.
Borash
all of these were my ideas, by the way. Okay, the next one, Joe, do we have a commercial this week?
No.
We're gonna plug here because this one's from Adam R. And the subject is Tiege product works like magic. Hey, Disco, after your raving review, I decided to try the Tiege products for my face. In the K100 show's Tiege advertisement, you said you were using the product, went out in the sun, and week one week later, One of the girls of Sapphires asked, "Wow, were you out in the sun? It's like magic. I got the same effect after wearing it out in the sun. Thanks, thanks for your review. Stick to your read, you schmuck. Thanks for keeping it 100. So yeah, the products that we endorse products that we use in that work and teach skincare. Joe, do you have the link that our users can do to get this product because they get a discount?
Yeah, it's teige.com/Konan, KONAN, and then use the promo code Konan, KONAN, and you get 20% off any of the skincare systems. And yeah,
let me tell you something.
There's a random guy writing in to tell us that the product works.
Well, that's the second guy. That's the second exactly. one, yeah.
Right, second guy, right, yeah. right.
But let me just say one thing real quick about the Teige thing. So I've been trying it, and I'll tell you exactly what I like about it now because the first time – I hadn't tried it. I like the eye thing that just keeps my eyes cool and fresh because they're always tired. And also like that moisturizer that you put on after the face scrub because it just wakes up your face. You know what I'm saying? And it smells fresh. The shit's dope. So I've been using it and I've been enjoying it.
All right. The next one is
real quick. So take this and tell Teige we just gave him an extra commercial so they can put it on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go outside the box here. This isn't an email,
right.
But this is I'll read the email first.
Okay? Right.
And it's from Adam Hughes, who's Hughie, hello. Right. Subject is Guns N' Roses versus Metallica. Hey, guys, seeing as the Juicy Seal doesn't happen as often anymore, I want to ask a music question. Who's better between Guns N' Roses and Metallica? Bear in mind, Joe loves Guns N' Roses and hates Metallica. So it will annoy him if you agree with me and say Metallica are better. P.S. Pat Caney isn't Irish, so that has heat with me. P.P.S. Konan, do my podcast.
Ooh.
Mm. Who? Who is this?
Hughie.
No. That's bro. You can. I'm not Disco. He'll go on and be a nice guy. I'm a dick. Okay, so... But Metallica and Guns N' Roses, what, you don't like Metallica, Joe?
I do, but I cut off with them sometime in the 90s. Like, after they did, you know, Enter Sandman and all that stuff that everybody knows, I'm fine with all the stuff after that, not so much.
Well, everybody knows. Who's everybody? I don't know. So, what, do they have heat with you over the Montreal screw job? See what I did there? Do they have heat with you over the Montreal incident?
No. Yeah, I don't like.
I also can see this. I think you once showed me a picture of you dressed up as Axl Rose. Am I correct?
Yes, I did do that for
Halloween. So I can imagine this guy back in the 90s when he was scrawnier with long hair wearing the fucking Axl Rose thing, probably looking a lot like him at a concert. Someone going, yo, you look like Axl Rose, dude. Let's rock. And you're like, yeah, let's sword fight. So I'm pretty sure that that might have something to do with it, that you impersonated Axl at his concerts.
Well, I could always
truth to that?
I could always redo the Halloween costume this year because now he's kind of pudgy and I'm a little pudgy.
You're very pudgy.
So
yeah,
there we
okay.
go. But right, Guns N' Roses, of course.
And I also want to say another thing. I think if we look at record sales, I think Metallica probably outsold Guns N' Roses, but I think they were both two greatest groups ever. How could you like one over the other? But go ahead.
Wait, what did you say? They're the two greatest groups ever?
Two of the greatest groups ever.
All right, I'm going to be contrarian here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a fan of Guns N' Roses. I'm a fan of Metallica. I like Metallica better. Okay, but... I think both of these bands have a red mark on their careers, and that I'm not a fan of. That I don't think they can be considered in the conversation because to both of these bands, some of their better songs are cover songs.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
It bothers me. It bothers me. Like you know, like if you're going to talk about the best bands of all time. You can't be like you know, Metallica's version of "Turn the Page" is like one of your top 10 songs. You know, that's not that doesn't work for me.
Why not? If like, you like the song and it's good,
because it's because somebody else sings the song.
I don't think Metallica fans.
That's
me personally. I'm not a fan of the covers.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of bands that cover other bands. I just think it's kind of like, you know,
but I think
it's kind of lame to be honest. It
okay,
is kind of lame.
Did you invent the chart buster?
Yes.
You invented that.
Yes, I did.
It was Johnny Ace.
He just said Johnny Ace.
Pretty sure.
Wow.
The Ace Crusher.
He doubled down on that. Okay, so there you go. Next letter.
Okay, this is not a letter, but it got me to think of this because I was looking at speaking of Hughie, who runs our Keep It 100 official YouTube page.
Right.
You can go check it out. Right now,
let me just say this. Hudisco will not be going on to listen to the other question that might change wrestling, and I'm never going on. So just keep that in mind, but go ahead.
This is from the discussion that we had, Disco Inferno. We were talking about Aerostar's crazy bump last week, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a lot of good conversation. We were just talking about, you know, talking about it. But there was this one comment, though, I just like to read on the show here.
Right.
Okay. And it's from Joe Troller.
Right.
He's being very difficult lately on the YouTube channel.
Joe Troller, funny how Conan never buries the Mexicans for their fake-ass fuck wrestling or how they no-sell everything, yet he trashes WWE like the boar that he is. Bald asshole.
Phew.
That's what Joe Troller's comment about you was.
Right.
So you have any comment to Joe Troller?
Is that supposed to be an insult? Bald asshole?
Yeah, he calls you a bald asshole. So
is Joe Troller Joe Feeney? Is that actually
No, Joe Troller's in the thing. But that – so do you have a comment on that?
On what?
About Joe Troller's comment.
That why don't I bury WWE or AAA?
Yeah.
I bury WWE all the time, and when AAA needs to be buried, it is.
All right. So now let's get to the next mailbag question. The next mailbag question – this is the mailbag question. This isn't from the Keep It 100 official page. This is from the mailbag. The mailbag is from Joe Troller.
Right.
And the subject is, this has been a good little few minutes of mailbag for me. I've enjoyed this.
Can I just call him out real quick for being a cheapskate?
No. Let me finish reading the mail first. Okay. Because the subject is, Conan needs to shut the fuck up, an ultimate warrior. Okay. Hey, Baldy. How's about you?
Again with the ball. Is that supposed to be an insult?
I'm reading the mail. Do not interrupt the letter. The
Troller's
mail.
Troller's got mega heat.
Hey, Baldy, how's about you stop talking shit about WWE and start talking about how shit your own wrestling is? Impact and MLW has more people in the ring than in the audiences, and even more people in the audience than actually watching on the TV, Baldy. And he puts it in big capital letters, B-A-L-D-Y. Oh, yeah, LAX sucks. They dress like basketball guys because they definitely don't look like wrestlers. Plus, they don't know how to sell shit. You think that a so-called wrestling expert like you would slip them some advice, but you don't have any because you are dumb and bald. And Disco, Feeney's Irish drug addict butt buddy has put clips of your shit shoot from his shit show on YouTube. I think he's talking about Hughie there. How did you last an hour with that slurring fuck? My question is – no, he's got a question.
Jesus Christ.
You guys got any stories about Ultimate Warrior and WCW? I don't think you – I don't do the usual I wasn't around him much shit that you always do. Clearly you guys heard okay, this is what this last sentence says. Clearly you guys heard some stories, so fucking tell us, and he puts tell us in capital letters. That's from Baldy.
He's very demanding. And I would like to say
he's Joe Troller's heavens. He's been very very mean spirited towards Conan. So
the last 2 weeks, real quick, the mailbag was Patreon exclusive because we had some extra time in the outro where we ambushed Simon Diamond. We ambushed Vince Russo. It was about another 15, 20 minutes. So the mailbag went to Patreon, and Joe Troller is very upset because he wants to hear his mailbag questions, but he doesn't want to join Patreon. So I'm going to take this question from Joe Troller. I'm going to put it immediately on Patreon where he can't hear it.
Oh, okay, good.
Perfect.
And then take this clip of you saying that and put it on the YouTube channel.
Oh, he'll love that.
Right.
Yeah. Let's troll him back.
Yeah. Okay. The next one's from John. Answer the question for Ultimate Warrior Stories. Yes. I got Ultimate Warrior Stories. Very weird guy. When he was in WCW, he came back. He was always it was funny because Mike Enos was talking to him, and Enos was like, he came over and told me, him and Animal and me were sitting around talking about Warrior. Okay, because Warrior was there, like, walking around talking to all the boys. And Mike Enos was bringing up to me and Joe how that's Animal, by the way.
Right.
Or it's Joe, right?
Animal's Joe.
Joe.
Was Hawk.
Mike was Hawk. So Mike Enos is saying, it's like, yeah, Warrior's, like, really weird. He's, like, referring to himself in the third person, like, when he's talking to me. He's, like, he's referring to himself as Warrior in third person when he's talking to the boys in the back, like, at the show, right? So that was weird. Number two, somebody told me this story from years ago, that Ultimate Warrior, and I don't know who could corroborate this, any other wrestlers, he can, because, you know, I've heard this story. I forgot who told me. But basically, Warrior had a very strict diet. And remember those mini thins that we used to take, the little ephedrine pills you could find in the gas stations that the truckers would take?
Yep.
Okay. He would take like 15 of those at a time, right? And supposedly you're only supposed to take like one or two, right? He would take like 15 at a time, which kind of probably contributed to him acting like really weird. But what he would do is he would only eat grilled chicken breasts, egg whites, bagels, bananas, and like one other thing. He had a very, very strict diet of specific things that he ate, right? And if he wanted to eat a dessert, like if he wanted a cookie, he would take the cookie, put it in his hand, and crumble it up and hold it to his face and smell it to get the sense of smell without getting the bad calories that you would get from eating the cookie. And I thought that was very strange but very fascinating.
Yeah, that is both.
Yeah, so that those are my Ultimate Warrior stories. So Joe Troller, you're welcome. Do you have any Ultimate Warrior stories, Conan?
I have a couple, but one of the best ones ever was when I was at WWE. This one I was doing Max Moon. I remember they used to have these. Do you remember these, Disco? I don't know if you ever saw the, if they were ever in WCW when you started. But yeah, they did have them. Remember those little soundproof rooms you would go into that almost looked like a – yeah. So back then they had like these soundproof rooms you would actually go into and cut promos. And I remember it was like late at night after the show – and Warrior was just cutting a tremendous promo on Vince McMahon. He was like, fuck this. I don't want to do this shit anymore. I'm tired. And Vince was like, it's okay. You know, it's okay. You know, you know, don't get mad. We can do it tomorrow. And I was thinking, wow, how much money is he making with Warrior that he's letting him dress him down like that in public? Because he was letting him have it, bro. You know, and that really always surprised and impressed me, because you're only going to take that much shit from a top star if he's absolutely right, or he's just, you got to put up with his bullshit because he's making you so much money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one is from John Mack, and the subject is the XFL. Let's get away from wrestling for a minute. What are your opinions on the resurrection of the XFL and any thoughts on how it can be successful or at least more successful than the original product and other football organizations that have failed? By the way, is it me or does anyone else think Vince Russo acts like a 60-year-old crybaby? Doesn't he realize he gets paid to trash other sports writers but can't handle their criticisms of him? Anyway, go ahead and kazoo me, because I know VR is y'all a boy. Unlike him, I have thick skin.
I think the XFL has a chance. But I've always thought a secondary football league would have a chance because football is so popular. People want football all the time, so I don't know why these leagues have never succeeded. You know, I think if they're in the right major cities, you know, and get the population there hyped up enough, people are going to get into it. The attendance should be fine, and I think if you enough people watch, they love football, the ratings should be all right too. It's just I don't know why there's always this disconnect where they don't work just because they're not the NFL.
All right, just because I want to kazoo that answer. Coney, can you kazoo that answer? Bro, nobody's going to watch subpar athletics.
100%.
Okay, well, let me
ask the problem right there. Not, do not, it's just like this. There's a reason that the FSU-Miami game is like on ABC at 8 o'clock at night on Saturday night, and that Indiana State versus Colgate is like in front of like 1,500 people.
All right, but are you saying that?
You know, it's just like people want to see quality, all right? And in fear of guys that could not make it in the NFL, nobody's going to watch that
like,
shit.
I'll give you an example. What's the Philadelphia Phillies top farm team, AAA?
Yeah, nobody watches that.
It used to
do
be.
You know who they are?
No. Scranton, it used to be Scranton. Scranton's the Yankees now. The Phillies, I think it's Lehigh Valley.
Okay, so you think it's Lehigh Valley,
yeah,
which I'm sure you never watch, right?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. Well, I used to be way more into sports too.
So the
back
players
in the day,
aren't that good, bro. Yeah. That's why you don't watch it.
But I'm saying back in the day, I used to watch the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Red Barons. I did when I really was into.
Well, yeah, because you were dating the manager. But you know, other than that, why would you want to watch that game?
But
you know,
saying,
it's like
you guys,
when you can watch
it's the. It's common sense, Joe. That, like on a weekend of Saturday, let's extrapolate college football. On a Saturday afternoon when there's not a lot of good games, not a lot of people are staying home watching college football.
Right.
Well, there's a bunch of good games. People, the ratings are good, and then the stadiums are packed. You know,
watched CFL?
No.
Do you, Joe?
No, but I watched arena football. I watched the AFL.
You watch that a lot?
Not a lot, but if I catch it, if it's on, you know. Well,
there's no way it's going to, like, it's been tried. This is, he tried it once. It failed. They tried the AAFL, this other organization just tried to do it. They didn't even last it one season.
Crashed
and burned.
It's
not going to fail. It's going to fail. It's not a good idea. This is a bad, it's a bad idea.
Well, how could they make it? How could they make it work, though? Is there any way to make it work?
Yeah, you'd have to have so much money that you could get players from the NFL over there and start.
Nobody's going to watch Johnny Football because he sucks. Here'd be the only way they could draw, right? And they're not going to get them because I don't think they have the money to pay them. Is he a Kaepernick and Brett Favre come out of retirement and maybe play? People might watch that. But the thing is, pro sports are a star-driven business. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody wants, like, teams that don't have stars are not as popular as teams that do. And you're going to have the XFL, there's not going to be any stars.
So, for a quick example, then, if secondary MMA companies can work, then how come a secondary football league can't work? Secondary MMA companies don't have the same talent as UFC, or they have aging guys, you know?
Like who? Bellator?
Yeah.
Bro,
I'd say Bellator.
Because number one, okay, it's not that difficult in a secondary organization to find a couple decent fighters that are having a fight with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to watch Bellator and watch all the undercard. You're interested in the main event. Okay, but seriously, if you watch Bellator, beyond the main event, are you really interested in any of the fights?
Usually not,
right? So now extrapolate that in. Bro, football teams got to fill up like 50 spots on the roster.
Right.
So you're not just trying to find two guys, two marquee names to have a fight. You got to fill up rosters with like, what is it, 500, 600, 700 players for the league that couldn't make it in the NFL. So it's like, seriously, you actually think that people are going to be interested in that over the long haul? I say absolutely not.
There's got to be a way that they could make it interesting to people that gamble on the games and maybe have some kind of association with FanDuel.
Very small level. It's going to be very small.
It's like, bro, at the end, it's just like wrestling, just like everything. It's a star-driven business. You need stars.
Yeah. So Joe, Kazoo Joe again.
He tried. He doubled and tripled.
Okay, the next one's from Adam R. Adam Rogers has another email. How did he get two emails in here?
I think he sends pretty regularly, yeah.
Okay. Subject is AEW providing healthcare per Jericho. Hola, cabrones. Your boy Chris Jericho recently on RT. You know, Jericho is on RTTV. That's like the Russian propaganda cable network, right? So he was on RT. I don't know. He was doing an interview. I saw the interview.
It was with Jesse Ventura, right?
Yeah. Your boy Chris Jericho recently on RTTV with Jesse Ventura mentioned his gratification with AEW providing healthcare coverage for him since he's now an employee versus in WWE as an independent contractor where he had to buy health insurance in the open market. And if WWE competitively has to eventually follow suit, we would assume the cost could come out of payroll for the boys, resulting in a bigger disordinance between rich and poor in the talent roster, i.e. mid-carders earning less. Got to keep money, earnings, and profits up for the stockholders. Come from opposite ends of the spectrum. DI, relatively healthy without many nagging injuries from pro wrestling, maybe some chiropractic, maybe some transgender hormone therapy.
What the
heck? See, the guy, Kazoo, that for sneaking that joke in there to
try. Kind of like it.
K-Dog. Recent hip surgery, a.k.a. penile erectile dysfunction corrective surgery, with a stay in the hospital. My question
But I would like to say that the erectile dysfunction has gotten much better every time I insert it in your mouth, but go ahead.
My question is, if you were in WWE as a mid-card talent, which would you hope for? A, WWE big money contract, purchase your own healthcare, or B, WWE start providing your healthcare but pays you less? Mo money, mo problems, keeping 100 in the EPT, Adam. Which would you prefer if you were?
I think the first one where I get paid more and I pay my own.
Exactly. And here's the problem. Actually, I'll tell you what. If they're doing healthcare,
right,
that's going to that's all that's needed to happen to get these guys to get healthcare is one company has to do it, big company, and the other one's going to have to follow suit because they're going to be competitive, right?
Right.
But I will say this, is that if you look at group health plans. And this is what the problem with professional wrestling is that they're going to offer you health coverage. It's going to cost a fortune. And as guys get hurt and have major surgeries, and as the health, your premium is going to rise because that's how health company how they work.
Right.
Like if you have health company at your job, and everyone's relatively healthy, and not a lot of people are getting sick or getting surgery or like milking the insurance for like a lot of use the service a lot.
Going to stay, the premium's going to stay low.
Right. But if you said, what happens is if you start like, if you know, guys getting surgeries and so, you know, then everybody shares that cost. Right. So yes, he is right. Where it's going to show, you know, the mid card and lower card talents are going to be paying a disproportionate fair share compared to what they make compared to the top guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody, so I would disagree. I think this is a business where if you want to make a living out of it, I understand how we probably should have health coverage, but we're making enough that you should be able to buy your own. If you want to be a successful professional wrestler, like if you want to make it your career, like if you plan on that, making big money and paying for your own insurance should be the goal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but if you're not making big money, you're fucked. And that's the bad thing about the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's risky. So I hope that answered that question. Joe, do you have an answer to that? God, I wanted to kazoo you again. The next one's from Luke Smith, there our boy is. Luke here in the Aussie. Let me ask you a question. Has Luke Smith ever hooked up with your brother-in-law?
I don't think so. Is he in Melbourne?
Is he? I don't know. wherever football Ipswich is, because he's the Secretary Brothers Senior Football, because that's what it says on his bio here.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, let's talk about this too real quick. He presented something on Twitter I want to discuss.
Right.
Let me look him up here. SmithDog90, hang on.
One second.
Yeah, hang on. This is not him. I gotta find this. So Luke Smith is always sending me stuff that's going on over in Australia. And basically, I don't know anything that he's talking about because it's all Australian stuff. But he sent me something interesting the other day. Where is it here? All right, here we go. Okay, so in Australia, okay, so this guy, you know the story about Israel Folau?
No.
I looked at it just, I don't know it that well, but I know of it, yeah.
So here's what happened with this guy. Israel Folau is the best, was he an Aussie football player or football or rugby player? I think he's a Aussie footballer. Yeah, I think he's an Aussie footballer. And he's supposedly the best player in the whole country, okay? So he's a really staunch religious person, right? And he thinks, like, some of his views are basically that, like, you know, like being gay is a sin. It's like the hardcore right-wing, you know, like a hardcore right-wing religious rightist, right? Well, they kicked him out of the league for his views, for his religious views, okay? And he's, like, started a GoFundMe to try, you know, for his services, and he's kind of getting a backlash on that because basically he makes enough money to afford his own, you know, thing, but he's asking people to go fund his thing because he's saying it's for a cause, you know. So it's just very interesting that it's the equivalent of maybe LeBron James getting kicked out of the NBA for his political beliefs would be like the equivalent of this. But it's a fascinating story.
Was it what did he? It was because of negative social media posts, right? Like anti-gay social
media
posts.
He's being like he's saying stuff that a religious right winger would probably agree with, but you're just not supposed to say stuff like that. But he said it, and now they kicked him out of the league.
I think every sports team, obviously, there's a code of conduct. I'm sure there's a social media, you know, code of conduct as well. I think teams on an individual basis should be able to fire someone if they want, if they feel that those codes were violated. But I don't think an entire league should be able to blacklist a guy for his views.
Maybe it's just a team, but I think it is a league, though.
So this is a religious thing, or it's a...
Yeah. Religious thing. Here, let me actually...
What background religion is he in that still thinks like that?
Well, here. Let me read you here, okay?
I think all religions think it's a sin,
This is an opinion piece on him. Okay, millions of reasons Israel Folau doesn't deserve your money. That's what this is, an opinion piece. Always read the opinion. Always read the fine print, especially in the case of giving money to those who don't need it. And to be clear, I'm talking about Israel Folau, former rugby star and self-proclaimed bastion of the moral high ground in this world of alleged vice and avarice. As of the time of this writing, his beguiling, self-serving GoFundMe campaign has raised over $500,000 out of the $3 million goal he has set. And at the bottom of it all is a caveat that despite his plea that the money I'm asking for is solely to fund the rest of my action in court is one that suggests that those funds may be used however Folau deems necessary. Okay? In making this contribution, I acknowledge that my contributions are made freely as a gift on the basis previously affirmed that there will be no obligations on Israel Folau to do anything for me in recognition of the gift or to apply the funds in any particular way with respect to his legal action, and that I hold no expectation to receive anything in turn for my contribution. That's like what people are having to like say, I guess. It might just be me, but that seems more than a little disingenuous, perhaps even greedy of Folau. But then again, this is a man who's played professional sport in this country at the highest level since he was a 19-year-old. He's been a premiership hero, a national sporting icon, and a failed AFL experiment, but one thing has never been in those years of professional sports is poor, right? So he's talking about him make a lot of money. Just basically, yeah, he's getting a lot of flack for being really rich and doing a GoFundMe on this, you know? But, okay, so here's some other thing.
Yeah, he's a rugby player, by the way.
Yeah. People could do what they want with their money. It's one of the perks of living in a free democracy. But there are 6,350 people and counting, gullible, naive, stupid, or just looking for a wannabe martyr to launch onto. I'd really like to know, because at this point, Folau is trying to make a martyr of himself, nothing else. And he's using a notoriously divisive media personality and Alan Jones, I guess some guy, to help him do it. Are there people who seemingly believe, like Folau, that homosexuality is a sin against God and the teachings of the Bible? Or is Folau blindingly and horrifically put in a sermon last week, angry about sin that's about man-pleasing man, as he paraphrased a book within 3,500 years ago? This is all over the place because I really don't know the story, but this is a lot longer than I thought it'd be. But basically, the guy's a religious thinks homosexuality is sin and evil, and they kicked him out of the league for it.
Right. And the thing is, I was just reading real quick about him right here, is that he's kind of like a Christian fundamentalist and his dad's a pastor.
Yeah.
So like this is shit he really believes in.
Right.
And the problem with me as being anti-religion, since I think religion is all bullshit, you know, here's this guy that's really believing in this, you know, and society is now dictating that, you know, if you make, you know, homophobic remarks, that is going to cost you your job. And we're not going backwards, we're going forwards. And so you've got to be smart enough. He's been in the league 10 years. He should have been smart enough not to be publicly espousing his religious views, because it could get him in the type of trouble it got him in. You know what I'm saying?
So here's Luke Smith. He's got an Impact question. Hey, guys, what are your thoughts on the recent release from Impact of Scarlett Bordeaux? Personally, she was one of the segments I go out of my way to find each week. I popped seeing a few AEW fans on Twitter say that her character won't be welcomed in their promotion and that her Make Wrestling Sexy Again should stay in the 90s.
What a bunch of idiots.
I've already seen reports Killer Cross asked for his release. I'd have to imagine there'd be more than a few companies interested if he becomes available. I've loved his stuff ever since Disco and Conan first mentioned him on the podcast. Keep up the great work, Luke Smith. I think that's funny about the AEW fans thinking that she wouldn't be welcome. That's hysterical.
As a viewer,
Cross isn't going anywhere, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think so. From what I've read, anyway, you would know better. But I think with Scarlett as a viewer, I think it's a mistake because the Impact Wrestling invested about a year in her, something like that, maybe a little more. She's proven to be a draw, especially with that AAA YouTube video we've mentioned that has into the millions of views, you know. And I just don't, and of course, I don't know the dollars and cents of it, but I don't see why they would be promoting her so hard for all this time and then just release her. It doesn't make sense. It looks like you invested all that time for no reason.
Well, they were probably far apart on numbers, so they had to let her go. Well, the next one is from Joe, snuck a couple more in here. The next one's from LJ Garcia. The subject is Eddie Guerrero, WCW gimmick. Hello, Conan, D.I., and JoJo. Thanks for the great content and awesome shows. You're truly the best podcast around. Always make me feel great through tough times. Conan, I've been a fan since I used to watch EMLL religiously every Saturday evening when I was living in Nuevo Laredo. Your matches against Cien Caras and Perro Aguayo are legendary. D.I., always enjoyed your runs with the WCW television title. I posted your win against Alex Wright some months back to prove some marks that you got a huge pop, bigger than anything on Raw today. I love how marks and snowflakes get easily triggered in your opinions on Facebook and YouTube. Just two questions. Any stories on Eddie Guerrero's brief gimmick using the mask and going by El Caliente? I always thought this was a hilarious inside joke, since Conan knows this translates differently in Spanish. Second to last question. D.I., any stories on winning your TV championship, how you got the news, reactions in the locker room, and who came up with the double crossbody finish? Thanks, keep the great work. I'll answer mine first. There's no stories. I got the news when they told me the finish. I think it was Terry Taylor's finish. And the man, the question one about
Terry the Stooge Taylor.
The man, since I mentioned Terry Taylor, do you want to kazoo me? Get a load of this. If I remember correctly, I remember when Eddie did this gimmick. I think El Caliente was my idea. I think I might have got this. Might have been my idea. Right. Like him wearing a mask is like doing a like a parody gimmick.
I know the name basically translates to like Mr. Horny.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't even remember that gimmick. I don't even remember that gimmick.
I remember briefly. I think it may have given me the idea for the name.
He
Mr. Horny.
What
would you do if Mr. Horny showed up at AAA in Tijuana?
He would be very over.
Real quick, what it was, Conan, was
Mr. Horny.
Eddie was trying to get one over on Ray during the WCW feud, so he came out in a mask and in disguise or whatever to, you know, wrestle him and try to injure him.
Do you remember this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't.
It was on a Nitro.
That's the setup. I think that was my idea with the thing. I think that was my idea.
Right.
Okay. The next one's from Michael Durband. Is he on the Russo brand or the Creative Control Network?
No, he's on the Russo brand.
Are you trying to get him to go be on the Creative Control Network?
We may have may have had a discussion.
He might have blushed. Look at him, Joe. Look at Joe. This DI. Might have blushed.
I do blush.
I'm talking about Mike Durbin. He's getting all happy.
Well, when I get caught being sneaky, I blush. So,
Jesus Christ. So the next one here. Let me hang on. Hi, Glenn. So subject is body shaving, by the way. Hi, Glenn. To the best of my knowledge, you wore long pants for your whole career. Did you shave your legs?
Wait a minute. A man is asking another man if he shaves his legs. That's his question? I think he froze. Yeah,
Be back in a sec.
He can't hear us when he freezes, or yes?
I am not sure. He might be able to.
Let me ask him once he becomes unfrozen. Boom. Yeah. He's still there.
I'm back.
Could you hear us when you're frozen?
No. No, I was gone.
Yeah.
Well, he got kazooed. Wait one second. You got kazooed because he's asking you a question if you shave your legs. That's the question?
Yeah. Here's a question. Let me read it again. Subject is body shaving. This is a grown man sending this to email.
Right.
Here. Hi, Glenn. To the best of my knowledge, you wore long pants for your whole career. Did you shave your legs even though they were never seen on camera? Be honest. P.S. I hope you like the t-shirt design I made for this weekend. Mike Durbin.
That was
just kazoo him again for asking me that question. All right.
And he used to be part of this group with Joe and Hughesley called the Mark World Order.
The Dream
Team. He's in his own group now called the Super Mark World Order, where it's just him by himself right now. I'm sure he'll have others join, but yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't think he can use it. He sent that t-shirt design. I don't think they can use that. For the simple fact, I think that's intellectual property. The guy that took the pictures at Impact taping.
Impact, yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah, he's probably got the copyright on those because he took the pictures. So, I would doubt that's a t-shirt design he could probably use.
Right.
So.